Our next guest says the future of small-scale farming might be looking up. The number of new farmers is showing growth.
The most recent agricultural census shows that between 2007 and 2012, the number of young, beginning farmers increased nearly 12%. And with the age of the average farmer at 58, new farmers are needed to keep joining the ranks.
Writer Lauren Markham joins us now. She writes about the rise of young, small-scale farmers in the latest issue of Orion magazine. Lauren, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Why do more young people seem to be moving towards small-scale farming right now?
It's a great question, and that's sort of what I was seeking to answer when I set out to write this article. A big part of it is, from what I found, is that farmers are increasingly, young people are increasingly taking up environmentalism as the sort of main activist endeavor of our times. And increasingly, as we sort of look at Washington and sort of see what's happening in Washington, you know, in the advertisement of your show, they were just talking about the Keystone XL pipeline. There seems to be more and more environmental catastrophes happening all around us, and legislation, activism through government, isn't necessarily shifting things or changing things very well. And so a lot more young people are choosing to become farmers because it's this sort of environmental activism at their own hands. It's something that they can change by doing something themselves instead of waiting for Congress to step up.
That's a switch from, you know, what you might expect to hear about why farmers farm. You might expect that they enjoy working the land and the reward of being outside, working physically, working with animals. You're saying it's largely a form of activism.
Yeah, I would actually say it's really both. I think, and I'm glad you brought that up because I think it's also a lifestyle choice. I think that, you know, our generation, I'm 31, our generation is very much a tech generation. And with the increase in technology comes this, like, insane kind of grind. And I think that farming is sort of a rejection of that and a sort of this retreat back to a more natural kind of rhythm. And working the land is a really important part of that. So it's certainly a lifestyle choice, but it's also a lifestyle choice that's imbued with this environmentalism, this activism, this sense that, you know, these young farmers want to be doing something that supports the world around them, that makes their world a better place.
Can you give us a snapshot of one or two of the young farmers that you met?
Yeah, absolutely. Two of the farmers I profiled are Dina Miller and Robbie Martin, and they're a couple. They actually met at a farming program in UC Santa Cruz, and they're farming some of Dina's family's land in Grass Valley in California. Their farm is beautiful. They have dozens and dozens of varieties, and they're selling their produce to local co-ops. They've started CSAs, and they're really trying to work the natural rhythms of the land and grow what is, you know, healthy for the land. So it's not just about them growing their crops for you know, to feed others and for their own gain, but also to kind of replenish the land and be kind of stewards of the land that they're working on.
Do you have a sense of how this is playing out here in Wisconsin as you see across the country, young people moving into small-scale farming? Is that happening in Wisconsin as well?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I should say that I'm not an expert about what's happening in Wisconsin, but the Land Stewardship Project is funding something called the Farm Beginnings Program, which provides training throughout Wisconsin, I think particularly central Wisconsin, for new farmers. And there are some really exciting initiatives that grads of the Farm Beginnings Program are launching throughout the state. There's a food marketing co-op for sustainable agriculture, I think, in the north. So, I mean, I would say that in almost every state that this sort of movement is taking root.
You say that there's almost this hip edge to it, that you know people who call them farmsters, a mashup of the words hipster and farmer. How big a part of it is that?
I think it is a big part. This actually didn't make it into the piece, but just for length purposes. But several of the farmers I talked to talked about how, you know, because there's this movement happening and it's sort of happening kind of in concert with a sort of national foodie movement where there's this, you know, farm-to-table consciousness and this idea that, you know, oh, you know, fancy food and where our food comes from. Fancy food and farms are sort of one and the same, which sort of was not how it always was. And I think that a lot of the farmers I spoke to were saying that partially because of that, now when they say, hey, I'm a farmer, people are like, wow, that's so cool, that's so interesting, that's amazing, where, and their families are much more supportive, whereas, you know, two decades ago, would that have been the case? They really feel like maybe not, that increasingly the kind of hip nature of farming and of food is creating a pathway for young people to engage in that and to be sort of regarded as this being like a very positive and cool thing to do.
Now, farming, whether it's this new iteration of farming with young people, just through the ages, farming has been known as a difficult profession. You get up early, you work hard, it's backbreaking labor. Are there things now that might mitigate some of the things that were tougher when farmers, you know, were farming in the past decades or even centuries ago? Things like isolation and crop failure, to deal with things like that and the hard work itself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that the hard work is just the hard work. And that was, you know, I sort of opened my piece with talking about how spring is the hardest time of year, which is something I didn't know, that it's like when everything's coming up, it's before the bounty of the summer, it's when you're seeing all of the failures, it's like all this backbreaking work. And I think that the fact is you're waking up early, by the hour you're making almost no money. You know, no matter how hard you're working with nature. And so there are all of these unforeseen challenges like early frost or, you know, or bugs or pests that you can't kind of necessarily anticipate. And so I think the backbreaking nature of the work is just is just how it is. But I do think that something that I wrote about is that increasingly, as this becomes a more normative thing for younger people to go into, and actually with technology, there's more of a kind of connective tissue among farmers, that there are more resources out there. It's easier to get information and to share resources and to sort of share the glory and the pain among various farmers, honestly, through connections via the internet.
And you write about a group called the Greenhorns. What are they?
The Greenhorns are fantastic. They're a group. They're basically what I just described. They're a group that's promoting young beginning farmers, largely young farmers, but just new farmers in general. And they're doing that through publishing books and also creating internet platforms for farmers for young and beginning farmers to share information, to share best practices, so that not every new farmer is completely reinventing the wheel. And there's this sort of sense of community, even if, you know, I'm in northern Wisconsin and you're in, you know, the Central Valley of California and someone else is in Vermont, that we can all actually be sharing our experiences and our expertise as we sort of grow into this profession.
This can sound a little like the Back to the Land movement in the 60s, a lot of people wanting to get out of the workaday grind and to work the land, do something that they feel is more meaningful. How is this different than that movement?
That was a question that I had, and I asked Severin von Scharzer-Fleming of the Greenhorns, and she said, oh, you know, and I thought it was like this really, you know, smart question. She said, oh, I've been asked that question a million times. And she says, look, with the Back to the Landers, they were often going into the woods and farming not as great land. They had more access to land, though, and we don't. There's not, you know, land is astronomically expensive these days, and it's way harder for young farmers you know, to access land and that land capital. However, because of the internet and because of the sort of foodie movement and this interest in organic food and in local food, there's more of a market for this. And through the, you know, emergence of CSAs, and, you know, I live in Berkeley, California, and my CSA is 3 hours away, but I get that CSA. Like, because of the internet, we're able to, there's a better market for these young farmers to sell their wares.
How important are these farmers, do you think, these young farmers, to the future of farming?
I came away feeling incredibly optimistic. I think they're very important to the future of farming. I'm not an agricultural expert, but from my vantage point, I think there's sort of an inherent optimism imbued in becoming a farmer and choosing to become a farmer. You know, I don't think that anytime soon, these beginning farmers are going to thwart the entire massive agricultural industry that exists in the United States or around the world. But I do think that in their small plots of land, they're restoring the natural rhythms of the earth. They're reinvigorating ancient practices, ancient agricultural practices that are much more safe for and better for the earth. And I think that, you know, little by little, there's a movement happening, and that was really heartening to see.
With the Back to the Landers in the 60s, a lot of those folks ended up being a little disillusioned. The work was hard, the life was hard, the money was hard, and so a lot of them left for more comfortable lifestyles in the city, for instance. How do you see this playing out here? Do you think anything's different enough that these are farmers who are going to be around for a generation or two?
You know, most of the farmers that I spoke to feel as though that this is their vocation. And whether they stay on this farm or whether they, you know, like I, one of the folks that I wrote about, he's a sheep farmer and he's gone into a range management master's program at Berkeley. So he has left farming now to pursue higher education, but higher education that's related to farming. So my impression is that whether they're actually owning and operating their own farms far into the future, I think that's a lot of their goals, but whether they're doing that or not, this agricultural and environmental ethic is sort of sticking with them, and they're going to be involved in agriculture in some way.
Lauren, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Writer Lauren Markham writes about the rise of young, small-scale farmers in the latest issue of Orion magazine. She's also a contributor to The New Republic and This American Life.